If you would, please turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. And if you're using the Bibles in front of you, you will find it on page 798. Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, we read these words. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that the sufferings produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. And hear this, church. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The word of God is powerful and effective and sharper than a double-edged sword and can go through both joint and marrow. Looking forward to hear how powerful and effective it is for our lives today. God bless.
As we were considering what song we would do this particular Sunday morning through the men of faith, that song, meanwhile, just kept coming back and coming back. And so I told him, well, why don't we do that? And I'll kind of gear a message towards that thought. And Randy says, well, remember 8:28, Romans 8:28. And you'll notice I didn't go to Romans 8:28. No offense, Randy. It's still there. But as I was looking over this particular passage of Scripture, the thought just continually kept coming to me that when we were in our worst circumstance in life, when we were in our deepest level of sin, when we were totally disobedient to God, while we were just walking in a path that was going to bring destruction to our spirits, while that is going on, meanwhile, there's God working out our salvation. What an amazing God we serve, that he was willing, even while we were dead, to provide for us so that we could have life. He is absolutely an incredible God. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want to share with you five things out of this passage. I want to share with you our current condition. Secondly, our troubles have purpose. Third, our promised possession. Fourth, our helpless state. And number five, our glorious hope. And so let's look at these particular aspects. Remember, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were walking away from God. We were enslaved to the baser habits of mankind. We were brought down into the very depths of sin, but God was not willing to leave us in that kind of a condition. And so, through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, he has offered us life. And in offering us life, he has given us hope, and he has given us assurance of life after this life is done. And I want you to notice that that's our current condition. Look at verses 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified, notice that as Paul is writing this, and he's talking about justification, he's talking about the fact that that's what takes place in a moment of time. It is past. It was that moment that we received Jesus Christ as our Savior. Then from that moment, we became justified. And that word justified is a very simple word to understand. It means declared righteous. Or if you will, in the eyes of God, it is just as if I'd never sinned. In other words, when God enters our life through the person of Jesus Christ, He erases all of the sins that we've ever committed. And he gives us brand new life, a brand new start, a fresh opportunity to be able to live for him. But that happens in that moment that we receive Jesus Christ. And so as Paul is writing to the church at Rome, to the believers there, he's saying as if this has happened in times past, and it has. From that moment that we received Jesus Christ, our current condition then became that of one who is justified, one as though we had never sinned. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are no longer the enemy of God. The peace treaty with God has been signed through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so instead of walking as an enemy of God, we are now friends. Jesus said it this way: "You are my friends if you obey whatsoever I have commanded you." You are my friends. We were enemies, alienated from God, living in a life of sin. But when we entered into that relationship with God, we find peace with God. And we no longer battle that spiritual struggle of should I sin or should I not sin. Instead, the battle that we face is should I be faithful or should I not? And we have to guard that. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained, again, past tense, we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. I love that word exalt, because it means we lift high God. In our sinful state, we were without hope. In our sinful state, we were without peace. In our sinful state, we were divided away from God. We were separated from Him. But in that moment that faith caught life, we were brought into an amazing relationship with God. And because of that, we exalt Him. We lift Him high. We adore Him. We glorify Him. We do everything we can to keep from offending this amazing God who loves us and sacrificed so much for us. Folks, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's your current condition. You're not looking forward to eternal life. You have eternal life. You are justified. Not that you will be justified, but that you are justified. And God smiles on your life. There isn't anything that shows the compassion of God or the love of God, I believe anyways, any more than that assurance to know that God smiles at us. I remember when Joyce and I were I don't want to say first married. It was about 18 months after we were married. And that first baby came along. Her name was Lynette. I had never really been around babies. I mean, I was dumber than a rock when it came to how do you take care of babies. That's one of the disadvantages of being the youngest in the family. You know, you don't get those little ones that come along after you so that you have an idea what these things are about. But I can remember at those times when we would lay her in that little cradle. We had a little cradle. And, you know, it would be kind of a swing thing. If you pulled the little thing out, you could rock it back and forth. And she would sleep, you know. that kind of thing. And I can remember just standing by that cradle and looking down at her and just smiling. Because she brought so much joy into our life. You see, folks, that's how God looks at us. He looks at us and he smiles. This is my kid. This is my child. And I love him with all that I am. What an amazing God we serve. What an incredible opportunity we have to know that we can bring a smile to the face of God. If we're trusting Jesus Christ for salvation, that's our current condition. Secondly, I want you to notice that our troubles have purpose. Look at verses 3 and 4. He says, and not only this, but we also exalt, honor God, lift up God in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. You notice how those things build upon each other? That's the way that our spiritual life is. Folks, make no mistake about this. In this life, you will have difficult times. They're going to come. Some of you are in the midst of those difficult times right now in your life. Some of you have been through and have come through in great ways those difficult times in your life. Some of you, unfortunately, have those things to look forward to. And to be honest with you, I believe that we all have difficult times to look forward to. But God doesn't allow those things to take place in our lives. He doesn't allow them to happen, but that He uses them for His purpose in order to bring glory to you and to His name. Now notice how the Apostle Paul says this. He says, we also exalt in our tribulations. You know what? When those difficult times come, instead of sticking our nose on the ground and saying, God, why did you do that? Why did you allow that to happen to me? I'm so wonderful. God, I'm a pout. That doesn't honor God. It doesn't. Why'd you give me those people to work with? We're crying out loud. Don't you know how bad that shop is that I have to work? God! Why? Then we moan and groan, complain and grouse instead of exalting God. You want to look at it this way. God allows difficult times to come because He knows He can trust you. He knows He can trust you to come through with your faith intact and with a powerful witness. And you know what? When you begin to look at things in that fashion, you begin to look up. Instead of kicking your foot and pouting your lip, you begin to exalt God. The God of all creation trusts me. Wow. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? God trusts you to let you go through difficult times. But He's got a purpose in them. Because He's got something in your life that He wants to do. And that He wants to help you with. And He wants this building progression to build you into a strong building for Him. Now notice what he says. Look at how this builds up. He says, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. You know what perseverance is? Perseverance is, God, I'm going your way and I'm going with you, and it doesn't matter what my tribulations say. I am committed to you, and things might get tough, but I'm going your direction. There was a guy in the Old Testament named Job. Some of you may have thought it was Job when you first got saved. I don't know. But there was a guy in the Old Testament named Job. I mean, the world turned on this guy. Absolutely turned on. And as he was going through all of that difficult stuff, I mean, he had lost all of his children in one disaster. He had lost all of his wealth in that same disaster. A second time, as while that is all going on, Satan seeks God and saying, yeah, but if you, God had told Satan, don't you touch Job, but anything that's his, you have access to. And Satan goes back to God and he says, hey, yeah, well, you know what? But if you let me touch him, I'll get him to curse your face. So Job gets extremely sick. He pulls out the sackcloth and the ashes, and he goes out and sits. And he prays and he meditates. His three friends come to him and say, man, what in the world did you do against God? I didn't do anything against God. See, he wouldn't succumb to that. And his wife comes out to him and says, look at the mess you are. Why don't you just curse God and die? I'm sure going through Job's mind was, till death do us part, in health and in sickness, in prosperity and adversity. Why don't you just curse God and die? Interesting response comes from Job. Though God slay me, yet will I praise him. Perseverance. See, that's what perseverance is. I'm going to stick with God and his ways no matter how tough things get. And folks, I'm going to tell you, the closer we get to the return of Jesus Christ, things for the believer are going to get tough. You'd better be prepared. And you'd better make up your mind in advance, not what you're going to say, but make up your mind in advance, I'm not going to give up on God. Persevere. And so, tribulations come, and they develop perseverance. Now, look at this. And perseverance develops proven character. The old devil ain't going to get me to curse and swear and yell and kick and blame God. But my character is going to be such that I'm going to doxologize all of my life. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's going to be my theme, even in the midst of difficult, dark circumstances. You want to know something? A person's character isn't proven in the good times. A person's character is proven in the bad times. Do you stay true to God and hold him and believe him and trust him? Or do you turn your back and kick your feet and say, man, what did I ever do to God? Perseverance brings proven character, and proven character builds as its roof hope. Hope is not, man, I hope this stuff goes away. Hope is a knowledge of the integrity of God. See, that's what hope is. It's a knowledge of the integrity of God. No matter what I face in this life, I'm going to do it for the glory of God. That's hope. Though God slay me, yet will I praise him. That's hope. And so you see, even in our difficult times, God has a purpose for us. And that is to build us stronger and stronger in our faith and in our character. And now I want you to notice third, I want you to notice our promised possession. Look at the fifth verse. And hope does not disappoint. Say that with me once, would you? And hope does not disappoint. Say it again. And hope does not disappoint. We need to get that driven into our minds and into our hearts. And hope does not disappoint. Now catch this. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You see, when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we get a resident in our lives. The Holy Spirit of God Himself indwells us. And in His indwelling, He goes with us through any circumstance that we have. Any difficulty in life that we go through, we don't go through those things alone. Because we have the hope of God in the person of the Holy Spirit who indwells us and fills us with the glory of God, even through trying times, even through tribulations. The love of God is incomparable because He doesn't take off when times get rough. He holds us and He encourages us and He'll give us hope if we'll simply look to Him, not look at Him. Looking to God means, God, I'm your child. I need your help. I need your encouragement. Please come and help me in my circumstances. Looking at God is going, why'd you let this happen to me? It is a rising up of a stubbornness in us that questions the moral integrity and the character of God. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Whenever we question the integrity, the moral character of God, we are blaspheming Him. And that's dangerous for us to do. Beware when men call evil good and good evil. Beware, because that's blasphemy. So we've got to be careful in those particular things. But you see, our promised possession in that fifth verse is the residency of the Holy Spirit who dwells in our lives. God gives Himself to us in a real way. Now notice number four. Notice our helpless state. Look at verses 6 and 7. For while we were still helpless, meanwhile, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. You see, while we were at our worst, God was at His best. While we were involving ourselves in sinful pursuits, Jesus Christ was sacrificing Himself in order that we might have life. While we were involved in sinfulness, we were hopeless. And to be honest with you, we were helpless. But God. God didn't want us to remain in hopelessness and in helplessness. And so He invested Himself in us. And He brings us hope. Look at verse 7 here. For one will hardly die for a righteous man. That means rarely will someone die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for the good man, some would dare even to die. And I find that whole statement very interesting. Because the book of Jeremiah tells us that there's none who is righteous. There is none who is good. But our righteousness, you see, comes from God. In and of ourselves, there isn't goodness and righteousness. But it's only when we yield ourselves totally and completely to God and let Him have His full way in our lives do we find hope. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man some would even would dare even to die. And then notice those words again, but God. You see, the mind of God is different than the mind of man. The mind of man is, I'm all for me, and the rest of you, who cares? The mind of God is, I'm all about you. I'm willing to die that you can have life. I'm willing to sacrifice so that you can have hope. I'm willing to give up myself in order that you might have life. Jesus Christ is the perfect ransom that has been paid for your sins and for mine. Jesus Christ is the only ransom that can be paid. And so we must trust Him if we want to have the hope that God gives us of eternal life, that complete assurance in God's character and nature. And then last, let's look at our glorious hope. Look at that eighth verse. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For a righteous man, few would die. Perhaps some more would die for a good man. But God was willing to die for the wicked, in order that they might be made good. That's incredible love, folks. That is incredible love. And because of that, God works out all things for our good. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how much of a struggle your life is. But I want you to know this. You don't have to go through it alone. We have a God that loves us and cares and is concerned. And if we'll trust Him, He'll help us. Doesn't mean that He always makes the difficulties just go away and disappear. But it does mean that He'll hold us and He'll encourage us and He'll give us hope in the midst of hopeless circumstances. So I don't know what you're facing, but I do know this. You don't face difficult times alone. Because while you're stressed the most, meanwhile, God is working for your good. And He's working to bring you through and to make you a better person because of those things. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to please take your hymnals. We're going to open up to number 329. The Savior is waiting. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you have the opportunity of leaving here as a hope-filled individual. And that hope will come by yielding yourself to Jesus Christ and receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. If you're here as a believer and you're going through difficult times and you're questioning the character and the nature of God, you can leave here with peace if you'll just simply make that right with God and acknowledge that God is going to walk with you through whatever you face. Be a blessing to God today. Let Him smile. So if He's speaking to your heart, we invite you to come as we sing number 329, The Savior is Waiting. I'm going to ask you to please bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. Folks, I sense that God is really speaking to someone here today, and I'm not sure who it is, but you know. You know because your heart's racing just a little bit and your palms, your hands are getting all sweaty. But I want to give you an opportunity. I just want to be able to pray for you. And so I'm going to ask you, if God is speaking to you and you haven't yielded at this moment, I want to pray for you that God would just continue to speak to you and not to give up and not to quit. So is there someone here today that would say, you know, I know my life isn't what God wants it to be, and I want you to pray for me, Pastor. Would you just quickly raise your hand and put it back down? I want to be praying for you. My life isn't quite what I know it needs to be. Is there anyone like that? Thank you. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Our gracious Father, thank you. Your word is so true, so powerful. And Lord, you sometimes put your finger right in the center of our backs and show us that there's some things we need to deal with and take care of. Father, this morning, one has raised their hand. Lord, because there's something that is holding them strong, and I don't know what that is, and it's none of my business. But Father, you're speaking to them, and so we're just going to ask you to just continue to speak to them. Lord, let your Holy Spirit not depart, but to draw ever closer and closer and closer. And help this one to be able to make peace in all circumstances with you. And so, Father, we just lift them up, place them in your hands, and ask you to hold them and make their life a life that you can smile upon. Lord, you're incredible. And we thank you for your great love and great passion for us. Now, Father, watch over us the rest of this day, and let this day be filled with your passion and with your love for us. And we'll give you thanks and we'll give you praise, for you're worthy. And it's in your glorious and awesome name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to thank you for being here. We're going to ask Matt to come and lead us in our benediction. May God bless you as you live for Jesus today.